Thank you very much. I want to acknowledge my two co-authors, John Norman and Christine Molling from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. And this presentation tried to solve some of the questions that we had during 3 years of field study. Most of you know that vegetative buffers have been investigated and proposed as a means of reducing sediment and nutrient loads, and in stream by minimizing cropland runoff. And buffer may increase infiltration, slow runoff, and allow more time for sediment deposit. Unfortunately, buffer trapping efficiency are usually reported as annual values, but little is known about the event efficiency. So one of the purposes of this study was to analyze the runoff and sediment trapping efficiency event by event during a 3 year field study. And like most of the previous research, where buffer effectiveness has been measured using simulated runoff. In this case, we collected buffer data in actual fields. With that purpose, and as a part of the Wisconsin Buffer Initiative, we selected two sites in Wisconsin, looking for different landscape conditions, agricultural practices, and soil properties. Site one, it was a rotation between corn, soybean, and corn. It was a moldboard plot up and down the slope. It was a clay loam soil with an average slope of 5%. Site two is a corn alfalfa field, corn the first year, and the next 2 years it was alfalfa. It was a chiseled plow across the slope during the year one, and it was a sandy loam soil with an average slope of 10%. We surveyed those fields, we created a GPS map, and we locate the buffer, and we planted the buffer at the bottom of the hill slope, as appears here for site one and site two. A buffer in site one has a contributing area of 0.03 hectares with a contributing area to buffer surface ratio of 4:1. It was planted with wheat. Buffer in site two has a contributing area of 0.1 hectare with a ratio between the contributing area and the buffer surface equal to 13:1. And it was planted with several grasses. As you can see here in these pictures, here's the field for site one, and we planted the buffer in the bottom of the hill slope, and we installed two runoff collectors and sediment sampling collectors, one at the beginning of the buffer and one at the end. The idea was trapping all the sediments and runoff that was coming into the buffer. We took a sample of it and we put it back into the buffer, and we sampled again at the end of the buffer. To separate the buffer from the rest of the area and to control the surface area in the buffer, we install landscape edging in both sides of the buffer. And the instrumentation that we use here inside each one of those collectors, it was an improved flow divider. It's a simple empathic sampling system for measuring runoff and sediment that we built especially for this kind of study. It's a series of buckets where you take a sample from the first one and you put it in the second one. When the second one is full, you take a sample and you put it in the third one and then to the fourth bucket. With this kind of system, you can sample a runoff event up to 500 cubic meters. And every after rainfall event, you have to go and take a sample from all the system or carrying it to the lab. If any one of you want to have more details about this instrumentation, just let me know at the end of the presentation during the coffee break. These are the results that we got for the 3 years. The first table shows the result for site one, and this shows the result for site two. And these are the totals that we got after the 3 years of sampling. We collect a total of 29 rainfall runoff events in site one, 48 rainfall runoff events in site two, and the average runoff capture in site one, it was 85%. Which means that 85% of the total runoff that came into a buffer was trapped into the buffer. And the sediment in site one showed a similar value. Different situation was observed in site two, the one that it was sandy loam soil. It was just 37% captured in the buffer at the end of the 3 years, and 52% captured for the sediment. One interesting here is that usually these are the typical values that we see in a lot of reports and information about trapping efficiency. But when you see the values inside, you can see that for site one, for site two, there's a big difference from year to year. The average was 37%, but 1 year it was 83%, and in the first year it was no more than 17%. So we were wondering what is the reason for that, because year after year the buffer condition was actually pretty similar. So we went to study what happened with each one of the events. And this picture shows for the 3 years, the percentage captured along the study. In blue, you have the site one results, and in red, you have the site two. And you can see that for most of the events, the capture efficiency was around 100%. But for some of the events, it was pretty low, even close to zero in some of them. And there was a small event, very small event, 1 millimeter inflow, that it was even negative. So we studied the event, and we put together all the information, some of the information in this graph, where we have here the rainfall depth. We have some events where we collect in just one rainfall event, 150 millimeters. And on the other hand, here you have the rainfall intensity for those events as calculated as the maximum 30 minutes rainfall intensity, and some of the events showed up to 30 millimeters of rainfall per hour. So we have a quite big range in terms of variability between one event and the next one. So we built these next four graphs to try to find what was happening along the study. This first graph showed the relationship between the maximum 30 minutes rainfall intensity and the capture in both sites. And actually, we didn't see any special pattern along all the data points. This other graph showed the rainfall erosivity factor, the one that comes from the USLE, that is a number that combines in just one value the rainfall intensity and the rainfall depth. And there's also no clear pattern along this data point, but these two show something very interesting. These two data points come from two events, and each event, which was about 1500 in terms of rainfall erosivity. The typical rainfall erosivity in these study sites is about 1900. So in one of these events, we almost covered the entire rainfall erosivity that we usually have for an entire year. But the interesting thing here is that both events has almost the same rainfall erosivity, but quite different capture efficiency. And the main difference is that the first one came 38 days since last rainfall. And the second one came just 11 days since last rain. So probably the buffer was quite wet at that time. So we also explore another combination. We put the inflow that was coming into the buffer in millimeters and the capture efficiency. And we can separate this in two areas. Beyond 200 millimeters, usually the capture efficiency reduces much, is close to zero, compared to the other values that you get when you have the runoff events with less than 200 millimeters. And finally, we compare the number of days since last rain, and actually here we get some pattern that is pretty interesting. We can separate this graph in two areas. One that is beyond 20 days since last rain, and the one that is before that. Usually, if you have two events in a row, and they happen separated for more than 20 days, the capture efficiency increase. So, if we summarize this result, we can show in this graph the inflow in millimeters and the capture, but not as efficiency as in millimeters in this case. And this is the one-to-one line. Any data point that is over the one-to-one line means that the buffer captured all the water that was coming into the buffer, 100% efficiency. Every data point that is on the right side of this show that the buffer was not able to capture all the water that was coming in. So, if we separate again this in two areas and we put a limit in 200 millimeters of inflow, you can start to see what happened with each one of the events. that are above that level. In this case, this came 11 days after the last rain. This big event, that it was 611 millimeters of inflow, it came 10 days after. These 7 days, this 1 day after the previous event, and these 8 days, and this just 10 days. What's happening in the other area of this graph, for instance, this that is resting on the one-to-one line, it came 3 days after the previous event. And these other three that I will show you now, one, it came 5 days, that is less than 20, but it was actually smaller than 200 millimeters. This is the same situation, it's less than 200 millimeters, and this is the same situation too. So, in conclusion from this part of the study, in these two sites, annual runoff and sediment yield were controlled by two or three large events per year. And buffer trapping efficiency varied along the year mainly as a result of the rainfall amounts and antecedent soil moisture conditions. And finally, regardless of soil texture, we have a clay loam soil and a sandy loam soil. 20 days in last rain or 200 millimeters of inflow depth act as a threshold controlling buffer trapping efficiency in these two sites. Thank you very much. I want to acknowledge also all the institutions and agencies who cooperate in this study for those 3 years. Thank you very much.
Very nice, Carlos. And you've traveled here from
Chile.
Chile.
Yeah.
To give us a presentation about a buffer study in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Which is very nice. I commend you for that.
Thank you very much.
If you have time for questions.
Yes.
Do you have concentrated flow coming into those buffers at all?
Yeah, especially in the second one. In the first one, no, because the slope was not very big. But in the second one, we had some during the first year. The second and the third one, nothing happened like that. But the first one, we have some event that where we calculated the return period for those, it was 60 years, those big ones. And we have some pictures also very similar to the one that you showed some of the previous presenters with a lot of sediment in those collectors. Drainage. Okay, that's the one that I was mentioning before. But it's a 4-to-1 in the case of site 1 and 13-to-1 in the case of site 2. Actually, we have to recognize that in site 1 we were trying to get a bigger ratio area. But after having the GPS with a lot of detail, we realized that the field has an area that was not actually putting water in our buffer. Yeah.
In your device to divide your water so that you get your subsampling, how did you keep floating debris from plugging up the different ports?
Yeah, that's a good question. Fortunately, we have just that problem once, but we haven't. Except for in a small mesh that we have at the entrance of the pipe, we have nothing else to save. But you are right. If you have a lot of residue in the field, that probably that would be a big issue in this kind of sampling system. Yeah.
Last question.
Did you measure soil moisture content of your buffer strips?
Yeah, that's what something that we did. Unfortunately, our instrumentation for that was giving us a lot of troubles and. Actually, it just measured 50% of the time. So it didn't provide enough data to actually correlate the soil water content with our data.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much.